fuck you! Australia! Germany! Africa!
Here we go! Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go. We begin a brand new broadcast week on the horn. It is, in fact, Monday, the 14th day of September, 2015. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you want to jump into the rousing, rollicking, earth-shattering, madcap adventure that is the horn chat room. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click on chat room. Pick yourself out, assuming your computer will cooperate with Java, and that is no guarantee anymore these days. Jump into the chat room, and you'll need a little password if you've never done it before, what have you, that kind of thing. But jump in, and you'll be right there alongside Earther and Mr. Gibson and Texas T, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderators Lottie and Sparky. Sparky being a third stage guild navigator, having folded space to become Man Cave this evening. It's apparently tolerable out there. Rain, even, I am told. Wow. Lord knows, some rain would be nice for a lot of California, which is at the moment on fire. God. Horrible to even contemplate. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, with a gentle reminder, this is listener-supported, independent broadcasting. It relies entirely, we rely entirely upon your kind contributions to stay on the air. And I want to thank Catherine and Glenn and Henry for their helping us get out front of fundraising a little bit this evening. And that being the case, we are, just $15 from having done with this evening's fundraising. And as such, I'm going to remind folks again, we have a premium on the table. Not a lot of them left. By the way, I drew a name from out in the hat after the program on Friday, and the lucky winner of a Last Mountain poster, courtesy of an anonymous contributor who provided a Have a Show on Me, is Glenn. I need to make sure that the mailing address that shows up for you is the address you want the poster to come to. I have reached out through USPS.com, and their thing on the website didn't quite work at all. So I have spoken to my local postal postmistress, who is getting a bunch of their poster tubes in for me for free. Yay, I love free. And so those will be going out in short order. We've got a few of them left. And for anybody who kicks in $200 to the equipment fund, or $200 Have a Show on Me, you get one of these original movie posters from The Last Mountain, the documentary that got a lot of attention, a lot of traction, and in which I appear for 4.19834 seconds. And I'll happily, if you want it signed, I'll sign it. If you don't want it signed, I won't sign it. Just let me know, and it'll be yours. So that's a way to try to keep the equipment fund going, or get out a little bit in front of fundraising, because we're going to need to. The equipment fund, of course, we raised enough money to buy the gizmos that we need to do the broadcast to be able to guest host for Mike and Kathy. Now we're working on the phone system, and we are working on a new computer to work alongside the MacBook. MacBook does one thing, the other computer does another. So that's where we are, and it would be nice to push that out by a couple of $1,000s. And we'll try to make things interesting for those who do indeed decide to help out. I said we'll need to, and that's because it's looking like I'm going to be on the road some toward the end of this month. The 24th, the 25th, then the 26th and 27th are a weekend. So I'll be on the road the 24th and 25th, and then I'll also be on the road the 29th, 28th, 29th, 30th, and October the 1st, bringing me home in time for a Friday on the Front Porch on October 2nd. So that's actually more than a week, so we do need to get out in front just so we can have all the bills paid before I hit the road. That's two separate trips, but they're both related to mountaintop removal stuff. Because, well, with the exception of going to the races there, and I don't do vacations. So anyway, that's where we stand. It is, of course, Moran Monday on the horn. And that, we've got plenty of Morans to celebrate. Oh, yes, we do. Yes, indeed, we do. We so do. And so there's no time like the present for getting started.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, 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 step right up. You will not believe your ears. Walk away from that prefab corn dog stand. Walk away from throwing ping pong balls at fish bowls. You really didn't need to bring home an iguana anyway. It's Moran Monday on the horn, and right here behind these thin cybernetic veils of canvas, you will witness Morans the likes of which you are not soon to forget. It will be, in fact, a memorable experience here in the Moran Monday tent. We have them all. We have every sort of Moran. We have birther Morans, deather Morans, ninther Morans, tenther Morans, booger-eaten Morans. We have birchers and libertarians, Republicans, one and all. And occasionally, an interspersing of various and sundry assorted Morans of other shapes, sizes, and political affiliations. Yes, indeed, you can't tell the Morans without a program, and this here is the program that tells the Morans. You just can't tell them much. Oh, my goodness gracious, we do warn you, we do advise you, if you come into the Moran Monday tent from off of the Midway, you need to keep children, pets, purses, wallets, European messenger bags close at hand and close by your side and well observed, as the Morans, being fiscal conservatives, can get grabby. Head for the hills or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, yes, you will. My goodness gracious, you will. Where do we start? Well, let's get this out of the way. Because it's beginning to feel like, it's beginning to feel like some sort of cheesy science fiction movie. Or maybe a reboot of an old Saturday Night Live skit. Namely, The Thing That Wouldn't Leave. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You know where I'm talking about. Yeah, Round County, Kentucky, of course. The news broke over the weekend that Kim Davis still does not approve of those Homer sectionals getting married because gay. Not because of multiple marriages, because, of course, she's had more marriages than Carter has little liver pills. Kim Davis appeared over the weekend to tell America that she still did not approve of them Homer sectionals of getting married in Round County because her Jesus don't love no Homer sectionals. But she also, but she said she wasn't going to interfere with any of her clerks or deputy clerks issuing marriage licenses. But in her opinion, which of course it's all about her. I mean, at this point in time, it's becoming pitiful, isn't it? It's becoming patently, pitifully, pathetically obvious that what this woman wants and needs and desires and yearns for is money and attention. She makes $83,000 a year, but that's apparently not enough. And she is basking in the warm glow of the for-profit media who insist on pointing cameras at her, and actually showed up this morning to hear her explain how she didn't approve of the Homer sectionals getting married up. Oh, really? Now, if she really has the power of her religious convictions behind her, she'll start firing her deputy clerks for issuing marriage licenses. And then her happy ass will be back in front of Judge Bunning, no matter what the Oath Keepers say. So far, based on what I was able to read prior to the beginning of the program, not so much. No. So let's consider this first nomination to be a nomination for the for-profit media out there. I mean, Jesus, they could at least bring the popcorn machine or the little whirling thingamajiggy that makes the cotton candy. But instead, Chicken Noodle News sent Martin Savage to talk to a couple who were, and I am not by any sense, by any stretch, trying to discount the marriage issue itself. I think I've been abundantly clear on the fact that I support marriage equality because I support the Constitution of the United States. Right? 14th Amendment, all of that? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's still a circus, but there's still a circus going on, and the people with poster board with Bible verses written on them, in that sort of Jethro Bodine script, they're still there because the cameras are still there. Yep. Carol tallied it up because she's much better at ciphering and gazettas than am I. Uh-huh. And she, between Kim Davis and her current husband. Okay, we're not talking about husbands 1, 2, or 3. Or 1 or 2. Hell, I even get lost in that. But between Kim Davis and her current husband alone, they got 8 weddings between them.
A couple more, and they'll be tied with Laramjar the Elohumite of the Book of Galoshes for 17th place on the how many biblical weddings have you had list. Yeah, but we do have a little bit of sound here from the couple who sought a marriage license today in Round County. Yeah. Shannon and Carmen Wampler Collins were getting a marriage license. They explained their reasons to CNN's correspondent Martin Savage. And they were perfectly good reasons, one of which was, we want to make it better here for all the young people of Round County. Okay. How do you argue with that? Well, I can't. But, of course, the Christians can. So as they headed into the courthouse for their wedding marriage license, that's where we pick up the scene.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us. Kara, we're going to watch this process because this is, of course, going to be the challenge of the day to see if they can walk inside. And given these sort of ground rules that the county clerk, Kim Davis, has laid out here, she's not directly going to interfere, she says.
But yeah, really, I was just...
What's going to happen once they enter inside, we don't know.
You can't get back
in.
You only have
6 days. Will you show us the license? Can you get it?
We're
going
to get outside first.
Yeah. Just sit with the big
kids. Shannon, what's your middle name?
Oh, Shannon.
I realize the audio is kind of unintelligible. It doesn't help to have the visual in this case, because what you've got is a pair of ordinary, everyday, garden variety Merkin citizens standing at a counter, and an individual seated at a desk with a chair is looking and what's your middle name? This is the very dictionary definition of prosaic, except for the Christian in the background hollering, "Your sin is going to be your demise, because he loves you. He's called himself to you to himself. You can't satisfy yourself. Only God can satisfy your needs." It's so bad off that a member, an armed, you know, gun-toting, hat-wearing member of the Round County Sheriff's Department has to be in the clerk's office. I mean, the clerk's office, for God's sakes. And the county clerk, not the circuit clerk. You know, the circuit clerk, you got orders signed by judges and orders of conviction and orders where the judge says, "Now be it known hereby forever, amen, that Zebediah O'Toole McGillicuddy be hereby committed to the custody of the Commissioner of the Department of Corrections of the Commonwealth of Kentucky for a period not less than 5 nor more than 50 years for sexual congress with a dairy cow." Yeah, important stuff. Yeah, really weighty stuff. No, this is the county clerk's office where they, "Oh, you've got a deed? You'd like to record the deed?" "Yes, we'd like to record the deed." "Okay, great. Do you have your recording fee?" "Yes, we do." "Okay, that'll be wonderful." And up until recently, people walked in and said, "Hi, Chlamydia Jean here's 8.5 months pregnant, and we thought we'd make it all right here in the eyes of the Lord and get married." And Kim Davis would just blush and smile and grin and say, "Well, let me get you a wedding license so you can be all right in the eyes of the Lord." Gone is the day. O tempores. Now, though, you walk in to get a marriage license in the Round County Clerk's office, and there's a woman with a gun in the corner. Fortunately for everyone, it's not Kim Davis. But nonetheless, Kim Davis is still the thing that wouldn't go away. Like some sort of Star Trek salt monster that instead of putting its weird suction cuppy fingers on your face and, you know, sucking all the salt out of your system, there's our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. Instead of that, Kim Davis puts her hands on Bibles and TV cameras and feeds on the attention of the Merkin people who can't look away. So, a little bit more of this incomprehensible audio, shall we?
It's your sin that brought you here. Your sin. Your sin.
Thank you, Brian.
This is going to be your demise and separation from God. And because he loves you, he's calling you to himself today. It tells us in the scripture that God wants the craving of the wicked. What do you long for? You can't satisfy yourself.
Wait, what? Did he say Rush Limbaugh is in the room? You heard that. It's an oxymoron, the Christian hollered. Oh, wait, okay, yeah. It's a lie from the pit of hell that destroys those who participate in homosexual sodomy. Apparently it doesn't count if you're participating in heterosexual sodomy, but, well, oh well. And destroys nations that approve of that. So, young ladies, today God's calling you to himself. Meanwhile, once again, a gentle reminder that the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States is no longer anything more than a life support system for the religion industry. Because in a polite culture, in a decent culture, in a civil culture, the sheriff's deputy back there, you know, the woman with the gun, would walk around and say, sir, the business of this office is to do clerky things. If you want to preach, you need to go out on the sidewalk or get yourself a soapbox, or maybe somebody wants to hear from you in a church somewhere, but you can't do it in here because, see, you're creating a public disturbance inside a governmental building. Oh, but no, we'd have to listen then about how Brother Harmodius Jones was being persecuted for his faith when all he's doing is standing there persecuting other people because they don't believe the way he does. We need to do some schooling of folks a little bit. This lovely couple walking in to get their marriage license. Somebody needed to tell them that, you know, if Brother Harmodius Jones over there starts to hooting like a barn owl, then you just look at the deputy and you say, Deputy, that weird man over there is scaring me. At which point the deputy would become aware that a crime was being committed in her presence. And she would then go about the business of arresting Brother Harmodius Jones. Probably right about as he was getting ready to take a big swaller of the strychnine or handle a snake or roll on the floor or speak in tongues or some such idiocy. And then he could be persecuted by having to make some bail, you know, because Kim Davis wasn't allowed to have no bail. It's a violation of the constitutionals. God, these people make me sick. What was that you were saying, Brother Harmodius Jones? Or maybe that was Brother Asphatida Phillips. I don't know.
Anita Joyce Butler.
You're putting on a show. This is all drama. This is not real. And it's not real. It's all pretend. And for some reason, the whole...
How's that dipstick keep talking without breathing? I mean, I can talk for 3 solid hours, but I slow down long enough once in a while to take a breath. It's a miracle of the Lord. Yeah, there he was a minute ago. Wait a minute. There he was a minute ago babbling on about only God can satisfy your needs. You know what? Anybody who says only God can satisfy your needs has never bought a sex toy and a fresh set of batteries. It, just saying.
It is a lie from the pit of hell that destroys those who participate in homosexual sodomy and destroys nations that approve of that. So, young lady, today...
Wait, he's slowing down. I think there was a breath there. Was that, is this the beginning? So, young ladies, today, is this an altar call? Do any of these godforsaken fundies understand that they're harming their faith, not advancing it? I mean, their own book has an abundance of stuff in it, and I think that... That guy who was huffing tent-making fumes and then took it on the lamb out of Jerusalem and headed up into Anatolia and points west, he even said something in some of his correspondence. You know, Linus in the Peanuts comic strip said, "You know, whenever I read the letters of St. Paul, I feel like I'm doing something wrong, like I'm reading somebody else's mail," and that's what it's like. But somewhere along the way, he said, "Listen, if you're doing something that seems okay to you." But a Christian tells, or but somebody tells you it's a problem for them as a Christian, don't do it because you may keep them from finding Christ. I guess that verse is not in Mike Huckabee's Bible, or any of these other galoots. I know. All I meant to do was mention that the circus is still in town down there in Moorhead. And it's turned into something entirely different. Let's wrap this up.
Calling you to himself. There is no pit so deep that Jesus isn't deeper still. And he can lift you up out of this pit, out of your own lust.
Boom up.
So that you won't be serving lust but love. It's like God for others. Lust lays the lives of others down to satisfy itself.
Will no one spare me? Will no one rid me of this troublesome bishop?
You need all this love. It is lust, and it is not marriage. And that certificate you're getting is not a valid marriage certificate. It is not.
All right, you're looking, this is...
Yeah, okay, so... thought experiment. If a Muslim came in and started hooting around about marriage, how long would that Muslim still be in that office? Science has not managed to invent the minute discern or determine the minute interval of time it would take before the imam was marched right the hell out of that office. Or, okay, let's get off the... What if it was an atheist saying, you know, it's all... It's all a bunch of baloney. What if an atheist was standing there next to brother Aspatida? You know what? You're nuts. You're crazy. You are absolutely full of idiocy. There's not a word of fact coming out of your mouth. You know what? The atheist would be gone. By the way, does Kim Davis not have a duty to maintain some semblance of order in her office? Yeah, I realize the order is a little bit challenged by the fact that these two individuals walked in there with nine cameras, 18 microphones, and several members of the for-profit media behind them. But in point of fact, you can make a credible argument for that because they are witnesses to whether or not their attempt to get a marriage license will be impeded by Sister Clark Kim Davis. But religion guy over there, I'm sorry, Christianity guy over there, has no legitimate purpose in there whatsoever. Unless, of course, he's there every damn day witnessing in the name of the Lord. But see, you can't ask a jackass like that to leave and go do it. No. Even though the First Amendment free speech protections are, there's a long case history, which, of course, I'm sure Mike Huckabee disagrees with, that says that government may establish reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions on speech. And that extends to things like creating a ruckus, which this guy was. You know, I'll bet you, not that even our ever so genteel and civil friends to the north, the Canadians, I'll bet you they wouldn't tolerate this crap. They'd walk up and say, "Hey, you gotta go. You can do that out in that space on the sidewalk that we've cleared away from the 15 feet of snow that started falling on September the 1st day. But you know what? You can't do it in here because you're engaging in hate speech there, friend." And that would be the end of it. But oh no, the precious little Christians, we have to tolerate them. We can't, no, he doesn't have to tolerate, let alone, God knows, embrace, except when nobody's looking, homosexuality or the marriage between two people who are homosexual. Ooh, no. But two people trying to simply get a marriage license, which is an entirely governmental, secular, non-religious function. We have to listen to brother Harmodius McGillicuddy over there hooting away and entirely missing the point of the ostensible message of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi. So, yes, our first nomination this evening on this here More and Monday is, for the for-profit media and for Brother Aspatida Harmodius McGillicuddy Jones over there, who doesn't understand that the clerk's office is no place for preaching. Well, we do have more. Lord, 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 we got more. We have an abundance. And again, sticking with the theme, a nomination for the for-profit media. Why, you ask? Well, I'll be happy to tell you. It was kind of a red-letter day. You know where that phrase comes from. But it was. It was kind of a red-letter day. Senator Bernie Sanders, presidential candidate on the Democratic ticket, went down to, Lynchburg, Virginia, Yeah, if I was a Jew or a person of color, I'd think twice about going anywhere with the going to any city whose first name is Lynch. But yeah, that's that because that's where Jerry Falwell University is, otherwise known as Liberty. Sit, Liberty, sit. Woo. The for-profit gospel mill that churns out. Well, let's see. Instead of biology 101, they have all sciences alive from the pits of hell 101. That kind of thing. And in a moment of sublime irony, well, okay, just no. This is just garden variety irony. My beloved West Virginia Mountaineers played the faith-filled fundies from Liberty University this past Saturday up in Morgantown. It wasn't a terribly exciting game, but we did come away giving them a thumping. We neither covered the spread nor reached the over of the over-under. The over was the over-under was 59. The spread was 39. The bookies are not loving us this morning. Although they probably made their money. Anyway, we increased via the West Virginia University Athletic Department. We increased the coffers of Jerry Falwell University by probably somewhere around $500,000. Why? College football teams. Well, now that the playoff system's in. They're not supposed to be doing that, scheduling those weak sisters as much as they did, but they still are. Alabama played Middle Tennessee State this weekend. Auburn played Jacksonville State and very nearly got their War Eagle butts handed to them. I do love college football. You'll have to bear with me. I'm sorry. So we scheduled Liberty. Sit, Liberty. I mean, honest to God, Liberty, I'll send you somewhere to live on a farm. You know what that means. It would have been nice if we could have found some deserving school instead of a fundy Jesus diploma mill, but nobody asked me. Meanwhile, though, they have chapel or convocation, and it's mandatory for all the students who, for some reason or another, paid money to go and go and receive something besides an education, but that will also, my God, can you imagine poor Dr. Bill having to sit through an American history class at Liberty University? No. Just no. Or let's say a member of our scientific community sitting through biology or physics there. Eesh. But because he really wants to take the discussion into places where the Democratic National Committee would never really even bother, Senator Sanders went to do convocation at Jerry Falwell University today. Somewhere down below the ninth circle of hell, because, well, Satan had to dig out a new circle just for the dead televangelists, you know, down there below Judas and the betrayers. Well, Jerry was roasting slowly, languidly, one might note, on a spit, being periodically basted in his own revolting juices. Yeah, that's what it is for all eternity. Every time he gets done, whoof, he's all fresh and newly dead, and there goes that spit right up his fundamentalism, and all over again, and the basting, and the little, you know, every now and then a little demon comes over and pinches a little bit off of him, and not quite done yet. We're going to need a few more million years, because time just flies in hell. It flies, but it never goes anywhere. Maybe it just hovers. But somewhere down, but there he was, a-turning on the spit, and one of the little imps came up and said, "Hey, Jer, tell your buddy Reagan over there that Bernie Sanders, the Democratic Socialist from Vermont, is speaking today at the university that you built and ran out of money for and had to get funding from your buddy Reverend Moon three spits over. And all of a sudden, Reagan and Falwell and Moon all at the same time go, "What?" And then they suddenly realize they really are in hell. Yeah, Bernie Sanders went to Liberty University, but since this is, in fact, a nomination of the for-profit media, there's a news channel going all day long, just because you never know what's going to happen. Nobody broke away. And I'll admit, I took one for the team here and clicked over to godforsaken Fox thinking, well, maybe those losers will... Nope. Checked CNN? Uh-uh. No, they were talking about the pig-licking debate. Nothing on MSNBC. CNBC was talking something about some stock or something. Headline news wanted to know what your favorite tweet of the weekend was. No, nobody. Nobody went live to cover the domestic equivalent of Nixon going to China. Not that I'm comparing Bernie Sanders to Nixon, because I'm not. But something kind of monumental. No, Marty, I think Reverend Moon's done dead. I'm pretty sure, yeah. But Jerry really did borrow money from him to help keep his idiotic little scam afloat. I have my respect for Bernie Sanders only grows daily. But I had to ask myself the question, because my life is just one long thought experiment. If this had been the national ego and that thing on its head, you know, T-Rump, CNN, MSNBC, Fox, and the whole rotten lot of them, you wouldn't have been able to get near Liberty University for all the damned remote trucks choking up the road getting there. Everybody and their cousin. And because the for-profit media will cover T-Rump because they're just waiting for T-Rump to say something stupid. Something hateful. Something nasty that truly reflects the character of Merca, the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever. Right? Yeah. There was at least a mention on MSNBC, but no, they weren't going to cut away and go live. I mean, after all, it's just Bernie. But he doesn't have a chance. No. Heck no. Except he does. Luda pointing out that Al Jazeera and the BBC Merca, mentioned it several times. You know, real news channel, Luda says, not the crap that gets referred to as news here. That's the thing, though. I mean, I checked Al Jazeera, too. But nobody went live. By God. By God, if that had been Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, Liberty would have been sending out press releases and availabilities and press passes. But no. Mm-mm. No. Oh, by the way, going back to Sister Clark Kim Davis for a minute, we had to, speaking for all of Canada, Ron up in Ottawa says, and I know he's speaking for all of Canada because he says, I speak for all of Canada. Nope. One more word and we're sorry. We'll have to remove you from the premises. Exactly. So I was right. Well, that's true. Marty pointing out, is Al Jazeera even allowed anywhere near Jerry Falwell, you? Probably not. They would have been immediately arrested, detained, and questioned upside down with their heads in a toilet to make sure that they didn't hate Murka. But the event, which really was more than a little bit groundbreaking, socialist Jew going to talk to the God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, snake-handling, floor-rolling, strychnine-swigging, tongue-speaking, evangelical, fundamentalist Christians that it was, this was a moment. And he didn't go there and mess about. He went there and he spoke truth to, well, he wasn't speaking truth to power, he was speaking truth to derp. But, and he probably wouldn't appreciate me saying that, Bernie wouldn't, because, well, he was trying to reach out. He was trying to actually get something across to these evangelical fundamentalists. Now, the question of whether or not he actually did, that's another thing. And I think it's a fair inquiry to make as to whether helping bring publicity to Jerry Falwell U was a good idea either. So there was Bernie up on the stage. He made some statements. He answered questions from an Iranian-born evangelical fundamentalist preacher who is the official pastor of Jerry Falwell U. We'll get to him in a minute because he's a real Lulu. Mm-hmm. David Nasser is the senior vice president of this diploma mill, senior vice president for spiritual development. How do you get a metric on that spiritual development thing? Brother Nasser, we're paying you $275,000 a year to do some spiritual development here. Because, you know, our 5-year plan calls for a 25% uptick in spiritual development in years 1 through 3, followed by a 35% uptick in years 4 and 5. Well, we're in year 3, and I just need some proof there that that you've got 25% spiritual development the last 2 years. Do you? Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, that's good enough for us because, you know, there's really no way to measure spiritual development. Now, hey, go talk. Now, you just go over and talk to the football coach over there. He can tell you about you know, increases in height and weight and strength and stuff like that. But I mean, how do you measure that spiritual development? I take it to the Lord in prayer. All righty then. Sheesh. I reckon there's a spiritual development test. It should probably be a 4-year I don't know. Football coaches generally get 5, but it should probably be a 4-year. Like, you know, when you sign up and first go to Jerry Falwell U, and granted, you're paying money to go to Jerry Falwell U that's on a par with going to a real university that teaches, you know, valuable stuff, not some little pissant state school. But maybe you fill out a survey. Maybe it's a one-question survey. How much do you hate the Homer sectionals? And you fill it out when you're a freshman, and you say, well, you know, I mean, they're God's children, too. And by year 4, when you're a graduate-macating senior, they give you the survey again. How much do you hate the Homer sectionals? And after 4 years of the garbage that they pump out over there, you write down, a lot, but, of course, you misspell it. And David Nasser says, see, we got a lot of spiritual development going on here. Mm-hmm. But it was a significant moment. And one of the reasons I think that a lot of us so appreciate and so respect Senator Sanders is because he doesn't mince words. I mean, he is truly not fooling around. He's not going to go down there and give them a bunch of phony baloney religious pablum and tell them that they're all okay. Mm-mm. Bernie took some questions. Here's one of the answers.
Protecting the vulnerable, I think our students were more passionate about that, sir, than any other thing. The questions that they wanted to know went way beyond just wealth inequality, went way beyond. We certainly had those kind of things. But on protecting the vulnerable, this was...
Protecting the vulnerable. Now, you must understand that when we're talking about fundies protecting the vulnerable, we're not talking about somebody who's homeless or doesn't have enough to eat or anything like that. When an evangelical fundamentalist Christian says they want to protect the vulnerable, you understand that's code for fetuses. Yeah, just so we're clear.
Probably the number one type of question that we got here, Senator. Senator Sanders, you've talked in your campaign about how it is immoral to protect the billionaire class at the expense of our most vulnerable in society. Obviously, children. You just mentioned that even in your talk with us earlier. A majority of Christians would agree with you, but here's the question. A majority of Christians would agree with you, but would also go further and say that children in the womb need our protection even more. Hold on.
Listen to the rubes cheer. Oh, my God. You'd think Elvis and the Beatles just walked on behind. Okay, maybe Billy Graham and Oral Roberts just walked on stage behind Bernie. How do we protect the fetuses? I told you. You got that? Children in the womb need our protection even more than real, live, honest-to-goodness, born, living on the earth human beings. Honest to God, that makes, you know, the mother, no mention of the mother, the children in the womb, because that's all the mother is a life support system for a womb. Now, I respect Senator Sanders for trying to reach out to these goons, but God almighty, they're goons. And they're not likely to stop being goons anytime soon. And maybe even some of the more kumbaya-oriented members of the Horn Family Commune congregation will take issue with me. And that's fine. We can have that conversation if you wish. I mean, this isn't Coles to Newcastle. And no, this isn't Nixon to China. This is... What? this is Einstein. This is Einstein to the lunatic asylum. The way this gospel sharp phrased that, and the nerve he had in speaking for a majority of Christians, because A, I don't think they're really Christians. Now, if I was a Christian myself, I would have some moral authority in saying that. But I refuse to be associated with anything that these people call themselves. I just hope they don't call themselves Christian meat eaters, because that means I'll have to go be a goddamn vegetarian. In addition to not being a Christian. But this guy has the nerve to say that he speaks for a majority of Christians, and a majority of Christians would agree with you, Senator Sanders, but they'd also go further and say children in the womb need our protection even more. Nerp. Okay, but we're searching for common ground here. If children in the womb deserve our protection even more than real children living on the earth, hello, Syrian refugees. Yeah, are you a fetus? Yeah, well, fuck off. No, you're not? No. Okay, fuck off. But assuming that to be true, then maybe one of the places we could start would be with universal single-payer health care. Hmm? Or how about we make sure that children in the womb aren't having godforsaken blasting dust blown through the placental barrier into their developing genetic systems? Huh? Oh, no. Those Christians just mean that they want the power to tell mommy that she has to carry a baby to term instead of terminating it before it has a consciousness, or before it's even recognizably human, or before it's even able to be found without a fucking microscope. Sorry. Yeah, see what this does to me? I wonder if this Iranian-born pastor even knows he's talking to a Jew. Or maybe he's just glad to be talking to one who doesn't want a new... Well, that he doesn't live there anymore, so it doesn't matter. Never mind all those Iranian wombs, huh? Because, you know, they're at Jerry Falwell University. They love them some Israel, and they love them some war. You know, one of their favorite peoples, Mike Huckabee, and Mike Huckabee done went over to Jerusalem and told the what's the governing body there, the Knievel, is it? Told them that their border needs to be the Euphrates River. And you know what? Over there to Jerry Falwell University, they agree. Mm-hmm. No, it's not the Knievel, it's the Kugel. No, it's not that either. Damn it. But anyway, back to that majority of Christians for whom this clown appears to speak and presumes to speak. I'm pretty sure he doesn't speak to the majority of Christians in, say, the United Churches of Christ or the Episcopal Fellowship of America. Probably doesn't speak for the majority of Lutherans or the Presbyterians of anything but the Missouri Synod. Now, he probably speaks for the majority of Southern Baptists, but again, I don't think they're real Christians. I think they're a cult. And I say that, again, from a degree of knowledge and understanding. Oh, is that it? The Likud? Is that the governing body? Oh, well. Maybe it is the Knievel. But when I talk about the Southern Baptist cult, I speak from having been a part of it. I mean, hell, my name is still entered in the Lamb's Book of Life via a really big Southern Baptist cult operation down in Alabamistan, Alabama. Oh, the Knesset, that's what it was. Okay. I thought that was a pastry. Well, never mind. But no, they're a cult. Because they're all obsessed with everybody's business, except minding everybody's business except their own. I think if that Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi was to come back right now and could survive long enough to keep from being stuffed in Guantanamo Bay, he'd look and go, oh, wait, you mean, oh, Southern Baptist, they're calling them. First of all, my last name's not Christ. And second of all, I know these kind of people. And you know, we were filthy with them back when I was alive the first time. They were called Pharisees and Sadducees. And they were all full of themselves and forever reaching. Hey, buddy. Yeah, stand still. You got a mote in your eye. Sorry, it's a little blurry. What do you mean? It's because of the beam that's in mine. Oh, yeah, I know these people. Anyway, let's get back to Bernie.
With you, but what? But here's the question: a majority of Christians would agree with you, but would also go further and say that children in the womb need our protection even more.
Oh, I know what it is now. They're expecting they're expecting the curtains to part and the Fetals are going to come out and play hits from their debut album Meet the Fetals. Come on, Bob, play the damn clip.
How do you reconcile?
Oh, they're in the Jerry Falwell gymnasium where they play their Jerry Falwell basketball. They got so excited, they's up on their feet. They go, oh, I swear they're gonna start speaking in tongues any minute now. Mm-hmm. What does God need with a football team, by the way? I mean, we just paid him $500,000. What does God need with a football team? Then again, we could pose that same question to the fine folks down at Baylor University, too, couldn't we? Or maybe Wake Forest. They're some battling Baptists, aren't they? Mm-hmm. But Bernie sits there, his chin slightly elevated, almost looking saintly. You know, which kind of fits. I mean, he's probably got more genetic material in common with their savior than they do. Just, you know, saying.
So the question, sir, is obviously they're... You can see this is what they want to ask.
Well,
this is what's on there. How do you reconcile the two? And again, I know that you have a different view. I know that you, sir.
Watch what you say, Bernie, because they will rip you limb from limb. They are, after all, Christians. Ron and Raleigh with the first Monty Python reference of the evening. Skip a bit, brother. Nah, ain't skipping nothing, Ron.
And I don't have to be eye to eye on it, but I sense a real sincerity in you in wanting to see our children protected. Can you see, sir, how we see the child in the womb as the most vulnerable that needs protection?
I do understand.
Yes, sir.
But I do also understand, I understand this is an area where we disagree. I do understand and I do believe that it is improper for the United States government or state government to tell every woman in this country the very painful and difficult choice that she has to make on that issue.
Wait a minute.
That ought to be in the right-wing sweet spot. Shouldn't it?
I don't want the government interfering with no government and regulations.
And see, Bernie's so much better at this than I would be, because I'd say, I agree with you, brother, and I think the only way we can protect a fetus is to make sure that we provide full Second Amendment rights to every fetus and give every fetus in America a gun so that the fetus can point its little tiny freedom protector at its mama's heart and say, don't you give me no abortion, mama.
Mama. Don't talk about mama.
But Bernie's better at it than I.
He just, oh my God, he's good. He just handed the Pastor Whackbottom here his, well, is this yours?
I thought you didn't want no government in your intruding in your life and small government and stuff. Well, how's come you want a big government to tell women what they can do with their bodies and not?
And unless I was mistaken, and I'm going to back it up just a hair, I think it was about to be some cheering going on, and them children have probably already been expelled, but they're not getting their money back.
And I do believe that it is improper for the United States government or state government to tell every woman in this country the very painful and difficult choice that she has to make on that issue. And I honestly...
You might note that those are rather high-pitched cheers of approval. Those would be people with uteruses. You didn't hear any yay? No, because the guys are still worried about the fetuses.
Don't want to be too provocative here, but very often conservatives say, you know, get the government out of my life. I don't want the government telling me what to do. But on this very sensitive issue, of which this nation is divided, right. A lot of people agree with you, a lot of people agree with me. But my view is, I respect absolutely a family that says, no, we are not going to have an abortion. I understand that, I respect that. But I would hope that other people respect the very painful and difficult choice that many women feel they have to make and don't want the government telling them what they have to do.
Oh, my God. Pastor Whackbottom just kind of turned his mouth. He just turned his mouth upside down and shrugged. And honest to God, he looked like a Muppet for a minute there. And, you know, that really is how America should work, isn't it? We should respect each other's differences and move on in civil society. But I kind of think Sister Clerk Kim Davis has put paid to all of that, hasn't she? They kind of put paid to that idea when after, you know, weeks and months of Bill O'Reilly, do it live, I think sucks, of hooting about Tiller the Killer, when finally one of those Christians blew away Dr. Tiller as he was standing at church there in Kansas. Yeah, Eric Rudolph kind of put paid to that too. So, yeah, Senator Sanders, I agree with you. I would hope. But by the same token, as we say here in the hills, you can hope in one hand and in the other and see which one fills up first.
Mm-hmm. But, I want to take that question a step further, David.
Please.
We do disagree on that issue. No ifs and buts about it. I respect your point of view. I hope you'll respect my point of view. But here is where I hope we have common ground. Now, I've not tried to be partisan during my remarks. I have not. But I'm going to be partisan for a moment because I want to lay this on your shoulders. I am the ranking member of the U.S. Senate Budget Committee. That means I lead the Democrats in opposition. Republicans control the House and the Senate. Now, I want to tell you what was in the Republican budget that passed a number of months ago. Check it out. You're thinking I'm not telling you the truth. When you talk about issues of children...
How can he even tell the truth? He doesn't have a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's going to hell.
I'm sorry. Can't resist. Oh. Speak truth, Bernie. Speak truth. I won't interrupt.
That passed a number of months ago. Check it out. You're thinking I'm not telling you the truth. When you talk about issues of children, understand, Republican budget threw 27 million people off of health care, including many children. At a time when many families cannot afford to send their kids to college. And I am running on a program, by the way, that says every public college and university in America should be tuition free. But at a time when families cannot afford...
The people cheering there were the people whose mommies and daddies made them go to Liberty University, but actually wanted to go and get a real education. Never mind. Shut up, Bob. Let Bernie talk.
At a time when many families cannot afford to send their kids to college. And I am running on a program, by the way, that says every public college and university in America should be tuition free. But at a time when families cannot afford to send their kids to college, Republican budget cut $90 billion in Pell Grants over a 10-year period. At a time when children in America are going hungry, Republican budget cut billions of dollars in nutrition programs, including money for the WIC program, which goes to low-income pregnant women and their babies. And to add insult to injury, in that budget, the Republicans provided over $250 billion over a 10-year period in tax breaks to the top 0.2%. I don't think that is a moral budget.
What's to argue with?
He said he was being partisan, but the fact of the matter is, he was just being factual.
That was not a partisan argument. Those were mere statements of fact.
And Bernie is very, very good. There's a reason so many people are getting behind him. There's a reason that so many of the mugwump Democrats are going, God, I wish Joe Biden had run. Then maybe some of them Bernie people would come over and vote for Joe.
I like Joe.
I wouldn't leave Bernie for Joe.
But the disconnect here is that while everything he said is true, and from a Christian doctrinal standpoint, everything he said is supportable, the mommies and daddies sending children to that private college, that really expensive private college with the academics of caca, ain't going to vote for Bernie. Because somebody's going to come along and say, yeah, but he's a socialist. And that'll be the end of it. Now, granted, mommy and daddy couldn't tell you the difference between a socialist, a communist, a fascist, or an anarcho-syndicalist.
Yeah, I think I might be a little sketchy on the anarcho-syndicalist. It just sounded good at the time.
But the word by itself is enough.
But since this is a nomination of the for-profit media on More In Monday, a question. What in what you just heard, including a whole lot of right-wingers cheering like mad for a couple of the Democratic socialist ideas that Bernie Sanders mentioned, what in that is not newsworthy for live broadcast? I mean, Liberty University is a couple of hours' drive from the D.C. Bureau of all of the major networks. And I'm sure they were there recording. But why was it not worthy
of live coverage. What does Bernie Sanders have to say or do in order to get a live cutaway? Because if I was the managing editor of a news network, I'd say that was pretty newsworthy. It's a boatload more newsworthy than listening to Brother Aspatita McGillicuddy down in Round County babbling away about Rush Limbaugh, the oxymoron, there in the clerk's office, isn't it? Or am I just some sort of old-fashioned news nerd, and I find this interesting, but Kardashians! See what I did there? And Bernie wasn't done. This really does. This begins to resemble something out of the Gospels, where they tried to trick Jesus so they could kill him quicker. And he couldn't be tricked. But just in case you think that David Nasser there might have been having a reasonable moment, no, sorry. Oh, and by the way, Steve in New York says it's not newsworthy. It's not worthy of live coverage because it's not T-Rump. And that, sadly, is a fact. It's not newsworthy because Bernie didn't come out and say, "Ooh, what I mean, I tell you what, you seen that Carly Farina? Oh, glory, I tell you, that woman's so ugly she could make a freight train take a dirt road." Now that, the for-profit media will cover in extreme detail. I mean, my God, the man made his Carly Farina comment a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago. He made his Mexican rapist comment 3 months ago, maybe. And the for-profit media is still chewing on it like a dog on an old bone. Cindy in the Great Northwest says, "What does Bernie have to do to get a news cutaway? He has to fill the pockets of the telecommunications broadcasting pigs with big money donated by big donors. Bernie refuses to pay the networks or the polls." Ta-da! Ron and Raleigh says he could bite the head off a live chicken. I'll bet they'd cut to him then. Yeah, but only if he put out a press release saying, not a press release, a press advisory the previous day, "Senator Sanders will go to Jerry Falwell University and bite the head off a live chicken and curse Christ." Jack down in Shreveport. Subject line, Bernie and the abortion question. I think Jack is rather wrought. He says, "Son of a bitch! Yes, that question was effed up. But additionally, isn't the question whether that man, for example, along with the others, should have more of a right and a decision over an abortion than the pregnant woman does? It's not that other people's morals are what they say. It's not that other people's morals are higher versus the pregnant woman's morals." Now, I tell you what, if Bernie was walking around with a hat that said, "Make America Jewish," or a hat that said, "Make America liberal again." Oh, then he'd get him some camera time. Oh, yeah. But just in case you thought Brother Pastor, Reverend Nasser, Spiritual Development Vice President, where do I get that job? I want one of them jobs! Get you big old Jerry Falwell money check every year for spiritual developing. Yeah, and that's what that is. Their baptismal font. It's spiritual developer, and then they baptize you again in the spiritual fixer. It's just like a dark room. Then they put you on the spiritual enlarger. Ew-wee! No. Tried to talk to him a little bit about racism, too. Because, you know, Bernie got lectured by the Black Lives Matter people, and he took it to heart, because he's real. He's not prepackaged, focus grouped, poll numbered, and shrink-wrapped for easy endorsement, and he doesn't, no. He tells you what's on his mind. So the issue of, the issue that has occupied this country for, it came really to the forefront with the slaughter of Michael Brown a year ago last month. And they think about it, too, there at Jerry Falwell, Jesus, you. They do. Let's check in, shall we?
This question from one of our students. If you were elected president, what would you do to bring healing and resolution to the issue of racism in our country?
Obviously a question that's been asked by some freshman who hasn't had his spiritual development yet. Because that's almost humane, isn't it?
We both want to see that go away. What steps would you begin to take if you were our leader in seeing that resolved?
That is an excellent question. I thank you for it. I would hope and I believe that every person in this room today understands that it is unacceptable to judge people, to discriminate against people, based on the color of their skin.
Yes.
They're actually going to cheer. How nice. But isn't it? See, you gotta be washed in the blood, and dipped by the heel in Jeebusy stuff to pick up the little dog whistles, and he just gave them one. Hope everybody here understands that it's not right to judge someone by the color of their skin. Because, see, they got them a holy book, those Christians do, and it says, "Judge not, lest ye also be judged." Yeah, they do. Granted, they don't live by it very well because they like to judge women for how they, what kind of decisions they make about their reproductive organs, and they like to judge people for how they love each other, and they like to judge people for judging's what they do best. But anyway,
and I would also say that as a nation, the truth is that a nation which in many ways was created and I'm sorry to have to say this, from way back on racist principles. That's a fact. We have come a long way as a nation.
Hoo-wee! That's not going to play very well with the American exceptionalism crowd. It did, however, prove handy to the folks covering the story over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, because their blaring headline was, Bernie Sanders says America founded on racism. Which it was. Yeah. And by the way, if you want a larger explanation of what that means and in the particulars of that, I highly advise you to go and get the podcast of today's Virtual Center for the Study of the Constitution and Civic Responsibility with Dr. Bill O'Brien, because he talked about that very issue. Did you know that when Thomas Jefferson was drafting the Declaration of Independence alongside John Adams and Ben Franklin, drinking buddies they were, he had a clause in there that basically said, hey, slavery's not our fault. The British brought all those slave ships to the colonies. The British allowed those Dutch and Portuguese slavers to come to this continent and bring kidnapped African slaves. The boys in South Carolina and North Carolina and Georgia were, of course, having none of it, so that didn't make it into the final draft of the Declaration of Independence, because they were quite certain that slavery is a good thing. We like us some slavery, because it's made us rich, 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 rich. Oh, my God, it's made us rich. So that little passage got left on the cutting room floor. Dr. Bill deals with it at considerably more length, and I highly encourage you again. Well, you ought to be listening to Dr. Bill every time he's on, and we'll have all 3 days of Dr. Bill this week, today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. If you've never listened to him before, well, you just don't know as much American history as you think you do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dr. Bill's the real deal. Dr. Bill knows American history as compared to, say, people on the radio who pretend to. You know, people like the Beckerhead or that David Barton freak, and some others. But anyway, back to Bernie.
I know, my guess is that probably not everybody here is an admirer or a voter for Barack Obama. But the point is that in 2008, this country took a huge step forward, David, in voting for a candidate based on his ideas and not the color of his skin. And whether you like Obama or not, and I do, he is a friend of mine and I work with him on many issues, that is a step forward for America. But let me also say what everybody here knows, and my thoughts having just returned from South Carolina, we all know to what degree racism remains alive in this country. I cannot understand, I really can't, I think about it, I try to understand it, how a sick man can walk into a Bible study class, discuss the Bible, pray with people in the room, and then take out a gun and kill 9 of them because the color of their skins were different than his.
This is one of those moments where Senator Sanders and I will have to politely agree to disagree. He said, a sick man. Dylann Roof was not sick. Dylann Roof is every bit as sane as you or me
or what, or whomever we would, he's every bit as sane as Senator Sanders or Brother Pastor Reverend Vice President of Spiritual Development Nasser there. Is absolutely sane, able to make conscious moral decisions, because in point of fact he viewed the decision he made as being moral. It was a moral decision he made through the lens of hate and racism and white supremacy and the Christianity espoused by those outfits. I just think we need to be careful about referring to murderers as sick. What they do is sick. What they do is disgusting. What they do is harrowing and bloodthirsty and heartbreaking. But the murderers themselves are very seldom sick. The guy out in Aurora, Colorado, yeah, pretty sick. Dylan Roof, not so much. I mean, I don't. If you need props before you go and avail yourself of your Second Amendment remedies. You know, if you need a clown suit and a rifle before you go up the bell tower, sick. If you hear the voice of Jesus telling you to commit murder, or Allah, or Krishna, or Witzelopochtli, sick. If you hear the voice of, you know, your dog telling you to kill people, sick. But to simply say that someone is sick because they went from being a lawful gun owner to an awful gun owner in the exact period of time it takes to squeeze a trigger, no. But again, he's better at this than I am. He's smarter. And he knows who he's talking to. So we got that. Oh, by the way, before we get there, there's a hockey puck availability tucked into this audio, and I'd have it handy if I were you. I think I'd go ahead and just put it in my mouth and do a quick loop with the duct tape, because when we get there, you're going to hoot like a barn owl, I promise.
And I cannot understand for the life of me how there can be hundreds of groups in this country whose sole reason for existence is to promote hatred. These are hate groups.
Right.
And they say, join us so we can hate African Americans, or gays, or Jews, or immigrants, or anybody that is different from us.
Inherent in that is the, that's subtle, Bernie, very subtle. Because meanwhile, while all these groups are banding together to hate black folks and gay folks and Jewish folks and people, Latino folks, etc. Guess who says they're being persecuted? The Christians. Woo! Yeah, I know. Because remember, he's speaking to an entire building full of people who stand with Kim. Who think that God's going to make volcanoes erupt and earthquakes happen, when we all know that's the fracking industry, and tornadoes and smog, because a couple of women went and got a marriage license. Ow, sorry, that hurt. New audio gremlin.
I can understand that. But let us be clear that when you have unarmed African Americans shot by police officers, something which has been going on for years, that is also institutional racism and cries out for reform. I am a former mayor who's worked closely with police officers. Vast majority of them are honest, work hard, and do a very good job. But when a police officer breaks the law, as is the case with any other public official, that officer must be held accountable. That's justice. And there is a lot to be done in terms of our criminal justice system, in terms of minimal sentencing, in terms of local police departments, which look like armies that are invading a community. But to answer your question, I think what we have got to do is when we see instances of racism, when we hear political leaders appealing to the worst elements of us by...
And who might that be? No, he never calls anybody by name, but we know who he's talking about. For one, the entire Republican clown car that wants to deport 15 million human beings just for being who they are. But specifically to that walking, talking, great big burbling wad of privileged id that's marching around the country in a hat that says, "Make America Great Again." That guy. Yeah, that guy.
What we have got to do is when we see instances of racism, when we hear political leaders appealing to the worst elements of us by making racist attacks against people from another country or people whose color may be different than most of us, we have got to stand up and say, in America, you're not going to do that. Racism is unacceptable.
Okay, as they calm down from their cheering. And you know what? This is a building full. This is just so you'll know, attendance at these convocations at Falwell U are mandatory. If you are a member of the student body, you must attend. And most of the time, these convocations are nothing like this. This is the most progressive thought that most of the young people in this building will ever, ever, ever hear. Okay? But they are young people. And for the most part, and of course, this is a room full of privilege, too. Because this is, of course, a private institution of higher learning. And it is gut-bustingly expensive to attend. But they are young people. And for the most part, and even the polling data that the right-wing evangelical fundamentalist religion industry has tells them the same thing. Young people are not with them on the issues of marriage equality or the ancient institutional racism that forms the backbone of the evangelical fundamentalist religion industry. Jerry Falwell was a preacher in the Southern Baptist Convention, okay? The reason Southern is in front of Baptist is because that denomination split off over the notion of whether or not Negroes could go to their churches and hear the message of the saving grace of Christ Jesus. That's why the Southern Baptist is the Southern Baptist. They even sort of quietly apologized for being a gang of racists a few years back. I remember some time back going back home and there was a funeral being had at the church where I grew up, and one of the folks that was still a member there said, "And you know what? So much has changed since you've been away. We even have Negroes in our church now. Yeah, colored people. See, it's getting better." And I guess it is. That is some measure of progress, I suppose. Granted, I think they're probably pretty well-to-do black folks, prosperity gospel and all. I can't see why you'd leave a perfectly, just from a theater standpoint, why you'd leave, or a performance standpoint, why you'd leave an AME church to go to sit very staidly and boringly and frozenly. I mean, they joke about the Episcopalians joke about themselves as being the frozen chosen. But Lord God, all that, no. A Southern Baptist choir, no. No comparison. And I realize that has probably a little bit of, it probably has a tinge of racism to it. I do not intend it as such. But, well, I better leave it alone before I dig myself a deeper hole. But yeah, that's progress. But these are young people. And these young people are not with their elders in this regard. But I'm sure there are multiple cameras throughout the room, and they're going to find out them vagina people that cheered about them abortion remarks, and they're going to have to go to Pastor Brother Reverend Spiritual Vice President Development Vice President Nasser's office. They're going to have some splaining to do, and they're going to have to get some spiritual development going on, because that was just the devil bringing out the harlot in them. Mm-hmm. Wasn't kidding about the hockey puck. It's coming. It's almost right on top of us.
From another country, or people whose color may be different than most of us, we have got to stand up and say, in America, you're not going to do that. Racism is unacceptable.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Here it comes.
We couldn't agree with you more on that thought. We would say, I think I speak for many of our students, that it's...
There he goes, speaking for people who haven't given him the, privilege, Christian privilege. So he's going to speak for people when he says, and here's your hockey puck.
We couldn't agree with you more on that thought. We would say, I think I speak for many of our students, that it's not so much a skin issue as much as it is a sin issue, that we can change the behavior. We could change the behavior of police. We could put cameras on them all day long, but behavior modification can only stop so short as identity change. And so I think we want what you want, but...
Well, let me just...
I really, really have been remiss in my ability to keep a bottle of cheap tequila around here. Swirly straw I've got. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. It's not a skin issue, it's a sin issue. And he didn't just come up with that. You know, he's probably preached that in some spiritual development seminars. No one is saying that the police are killing black people because the police are white. There were black police officers who helped kill Freddie Gray. I first heard that clip a couple hours ago, and I went, what? It's not a skin issue, it's a sin issue. Is he saying that, I mean, is this more of that evangelical fundamentalism and the sin of Ham, the son of Noah? Ancestors of the same white folks sitting there in that room used to justify slavery? It's not a skin issue, it's a sin issue. How is that even relevant to police forces that more resemble armies than they do police departments in this country? Well, here's a hint, it's not. But the word sin is a big cheer line there at that evangelical fundamentalist diploma mill. I'm struggling to kind of keep it together here because that just makes me nuts. So if we can just get everybody to stop sinning, and bear in mind what their list of sins is. I mean, it would be fun to have a larger conversation with this clown, because we could ask the question: Hey, you know, when the Wall Street folks and the hedge fund managers and the big banks destroyed the economy back in the mid aughts, was that a sin issue too? Because I think we don't really have to answer the question, because we might be kind of getting a hint at an answer here in a sec.
Say this. The answer is, obviously, we have got to change our hearts.
Yes.
But everybody here should know, 50, 60, 70 years ago in this country, we had segregated schools and segregated restaurants, and it took
and segregated marriages.
It took a Supreme Court. It took Martin Luther King Jr. It took millions of people to demand public policy which ended segregation.
That's right. Well, I think where you're going to find commonality is at Liberty University, we're not interested in making sure people of color are invited to sit in the bus or even sit at the restaurant table. We want to see them own the bus and own the restaurant. So we're with you.
You got that? Isn't that delightful? We want them to own the restaurant and own the bus, them,
at Liberty University, where he's the director of spiritual development. So, and that's, you know, that's just more of that Ayn Randian anarcho-capitalism crap that we can cure racism through money. That capitalism can, and the unseen hand of the, wait a minute. The unseen hand of the free market can finally purge this filth from our body politic. Of course, it's
had a couple of hundred years to do that and hasn't quite gotten around to it. But the free market can do that.
Here at Liberty University.
Yeah, I guess they've got a bumper sticker down there. This is Black Barbecue Matters. Lord, Lord, Lord. That may be the longest single for-profit media nomination we've ever had. They could, by God, get Martin Savage live in Moorhead, Kentucky, but they couldn't get somebody to Lynchburg, Virginia, and the convocation there. No. Mm-mm. And you know what? I realize that election laws may obtain equal time, that kind of stuff. Most of that's gone by the boards anyway. But that was news because a progressive was speaking, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies, my cup runneth over. Man, Bernie Sanders speaking at Jerry Falwell University wasn't a cup running over in the presence of his enemies. It was a punch bowl. Probably the one from the Titanic. That was news by itself. The fact that he even went there. But then again, it's news that Bernie Sanders goes to Alabama and Louisiana and South Carolina, that he is unwilling. Tim from L.A. says, I swallowed my hockey puck, Bob. That's what the duct tape's for, Tim. Lottie says, you should cut them some slack, Bob. At least they left their white sheets and pillowcases home. It was news. Just like it's news. When as I was saying, when Bernie refuses to go along with the DNC, DLC theory that we're not even going to bother talking to those people in places like Alabama and Louisiana Stan and South Carolina Stan and down there in the beating heart of virulent, evangelical, fundamentalist religion industry thought. That in itself is news. But what about the Kardashians? Because I actually did click over, and I saw some discussion of, where was it? Because I think it was CNN, and they were trying to emulate the Outnumbered over at Fox. Because they had one guy and several women talking about whether Kim Kardashian's baby bump was appropriate. And they had so little fans like you fan your, that come from the funeral home that you fan yourself with in church on hot, unair-conditioned Sundays. And it was like, use it or lose it, one side. Oh, dear God. So, wow, it is 5 minutes before the hour. I have managed to filibobster an hour and 55 minutes of this program away. I humbly apologize. Tim from L.A. says, I bet the Christians at Liberty U were shitting when Bernie quoted Matthew 7:1, judge not that you be not judged.
I bet many were thinking, how in the hell does a Jew know the New Testament? Of course, the thing is, Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi, was a rabbi. And that idea is not New Testament. It's straight out of the Old. Just like when Bernie, and you want to, now that wasn't in any of the clips, but you want to talk about burning their ass, when he said, when he quoted, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, for this is the law and the prophets. Everybody thinks Jesus came up with that one too, but that's Hillel, and he was a rabbi, and he wasn't saved, and he didn't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because, well, he was long dead by the time Yeshua was born. But they asked Hillel, you know, what's the most important commandment? And he said, don't do to others what you would hate to have done to you. The rest is commentary. Hillel was probably apparently better at a punchline than Yeshua was. And Frank just sent a little visual for me. Subject line: when they summon security at Liberty University, and it's a still from The Simpsons of a hand reaching under a desk to a red button labeled "Independent Thought Alarm." Jack in Shreveport says, subject line: sin thing. I thought dude was talking about gay marriage, although I didn't get the skin part. I must have missed part of that clip. As I listened on, I thought, what sin is dude talking about? As a matter of fact, what other sins might the guy decide there are going forward? Well, whatever, you know, whatever he doesn't like, his imaginary God doesn't like either. Steve in New York says, this is what's chilling to me, the paucity of cheering at admonitions against racism. I mean, there was some, but it was tepid at best. Maybe they got their cheering pass from their Department of Spiritual Development. But I do. I heartily applaud Senator Sanders for taking his message. Maybe this is part of changing the debate. Maybe Dr. Secretary Senator Clinton will go to Talibama now too. I doubt it. Maybe Governor O'Malley will do that. You never know. Jack in Shreveport says, local radio host on shootings. This morning, a right-wing radio host that is local to Louisiana basically said that a nut job in Kentucky killing a policeman is the same as a policeman killing an unarmed civilian under the color of law. And, of course, he didn't mention or consider the history involved in the issue. Furthermore, he said what we hear about the Michael Brown killing is a lie. Again, son of a bitch. Yeah, I know. You can't be listening to that stuff, Jack. It's bad for your brains. Really. It makes them hurt. And that's how, you know, listening to right-wing radio is how your brain gets turned into thin gray settlings sloshing around betwixt your ears. Careful of that stuff. Although I do appreciate you taking one for the team now and then. Yeah, because we do, we've got another killing of another police officer, this time in Kentucky. About, what, 100 miles or so northwest of Nashville? Yes, I know, Nashville's in Tennessee. But there's a whole lot of Kentucky that's real close to Nashville. Here in almost level West by Cole, Virginia, Stan, we almost had us a dramatic moment of freedom protecting. On the scanner, they reported a standoff over near a huge mountaintop removal operation here in my county. It turned out, no, really. They told media to stay away because the situation was far too dangerous for media. media, of course, complied. It was down Route 61 outside of Fayetteville, across from a big old mountaintop removal operation, a big old place where there used to be a mountain, and now there's just a toxic waste landscape. But the state police had gone in to charge a fella with the illegal harvesting of ginseng. And the alleged illegal ginseng harvester was not going to go quietly. So he squeezed off around in the air to keep the police at bay. Eventually, there was no drama. He gave up and has been taken into custody again for illegal ginseng harvesting. Did I mention that it was right near a great big gigantic mountaintop removal operation where more ginseng has been destroyed in the past 5 years than that poor hillbilly could have harvested in the rest of his natural born life? Yeah. Did I mention also that we have billboards along the highways and byways of West Virginia now, the big bold letters, "We buy ginseng"? Did I mention also that there's a TV program out on one of those awful cable channels called Appalachian Outlaws, and it's all about ginseng hunters? I think I did. Well, I didn't mention it late, but I got witnessed to by the ginseng whisperer one night down to the Rippy Mart. I've come to the conclusion that the ginseng whisperer might have had a little too much sacramental shine that night. No, I said that right. Not sacramental wine, sacramental shine. I mean, if you want to really feel the blood of Jesus Christ cruising through your veins, what you want is some good 140 proof, clear Burns Blue on the tabletop, skull pop. Yeah. But the shooting in Kentucky frightens me. Because it's getting warmer and warmer and warmer. And if any of those oaf keepers have, well, I hope they don't. I hope they're all talk. I hope they're just a bunch of bluster. But I'm afraid we're getting nearer and nearer to a point where that ain't necessarily the case. And I worry about blowback. Notice how the for-profit media will immediately jump to the idea that Dylann Roof was sick, but it's a lot harder to get them to comprehend the same thing, say, with that the guy that shot the police officer, the sheriff's deputy down in Texas. Now, the guy had a history of mental illness, and somehow he yet got himself his hands on a Second Amendment remedy. But he was, melanin-enhanced, so by definition, that couldn't, well, it's obviously Black Lives Matter's fault. And as that Nathan Enner said, and your new Black Panthers. Oh, by the way, another thing to mention. If you're in the Phoenix area, are you a little uncomfortable right now? 10 shootings hither and thither and yon along the highways and byways of Phoenix, Arizona? I heard this morning that 3 young men have been taken down for using slingshots to propel BBs, ball bearings, whatever, at people from, well, I mean, in my day we called those slingshots wrist rockets.
And the story only grabbed my attention because I suddenly remembered Nathan Enner down there in his long diatribe against the Black Lives Matter Black Panthers led by Louis Farrakhan, when he was telling the old folks and the young folks, get you a slingshot and pepper them with it real good. Ruin their cars with it. Use your slingshot. And the thing is, when an idiot like Nathan Enner says something like that, you know, he's the former prison guard who was busted for, rape. But he's going to stand up for white people. When an idiot like that brings up something like slingshots, I generally do not credit said idiot with coming up with the idea by himself. It's like when I wear one of my Stop Mountaintop Removal t-shirts and some stump down at the Rippy Martel, and this has happened, looking and say, oh, you just want us to freeze to death in the dark. Don't you know Co keeps the lights on? I looked at him and said, well, that's original, Cletus. Did you come up with that by yourself, or are you just repeating something somebody told you? Because most of the time they're repeating something somebody told them. And that's why that slingshot business out of Arizona kind of made my pink little ears perk up. So here we are at 8:07 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and I have used up far more than my own allotted amount of time in this program. This is, after all, conversation radio, and it's a lot more fun when we're conversating. So we'll open up the lines. Absolutely. You know the numbers, 304-574-8178. And I tinkered with the stress line a little bit over the weekend, 304-663-4676. You can jump in that way. Also, Skype to Skype is Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. Jump in that way if you wish. I will note that we are still $15 away from the evening's fundraising goal, and we are also trying to keep the equipment fund going so as to fix the phone processor unit, rebuild a computer, and deal with a couple of other little audio gremlins so that we can have really, really lovely sound by the time we start doing that whole guest hosting gig. If you want to contribute to the equipment fund, just put equipment fund in the little message at PayPal, or you can also use the U.S. Postal Service. Checks and money orders made payable to the Horn, not Bob Kincaid, and mailed to the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEYWV 25801. And a premium on the table, $200 gets you a movie poster. Remember that. Either have a show on me or a contribution to the equipment fund. Either way is fine. Let's run over and see who's on the phone. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, is that Tracy?
Yes, it be me.
Well, welcome.
Yeah,
it's been too long. Yeah. I had an email from somebody the other day asking, among other people, about, you know, haven't heard from Tracy in a while, so you will be reassuring.
Well, I've been so wrapped up with, you know, just dealing with my sins of being married and gay.
I know, destroying America, causing volcanoes, earthquakes, floods, that kind of thing.
So I sequestered myself away from the public, you know, to hide my shame.
Well, of course.
Why are you not laughing with me, Bob? Why are you not laughing?
I was laughing, sort of. Not a lot.
I mean, to start my morning, seriously, to start my morning, and the first thing I hear is Kim Davis on my TV, talking about how much she loves everybody. and how accommodations need to be made.
Well, yeah, because God is love, Tracy. Didn't you know that? God is heterosexual love.
Yeah. Aside from the fact that she's been married how many times now?
Well, as Carol did the ciphering in the Gazettas, between her and her present husband, they have 8 marriages between them.
8?
Count them. Carol did.
Wow. 8?
Mm-hmm. I always figured one was enough for me.
Wow. So, well, look who you married. You married Agnes. So you got lucky.
Is that what it was?
But fortunately blessed that you that she could put up tolerate your ass. How about that?
Okay, yeah, okay. I'd love you too.
I try very hard not to let these kind of people bother me because me being a sip does not bother them. And that's one of those things that I remember my grandmother used to tell me back when I let folks work my nerves. She's like, you're spending all this time getting yourself worked up about these people. They could give a damn about what you think.
Grandma was right, of course.
You know? And people like Kim Davis could give a damn because, first of all, I'm not in her demographic.
Well, and you're also not saved, and you can't vote for her.
Yeah. And I would, I would never vote for her, even if I could. But the way they gerrymandered stuff down in her parts of the country, she probably wouldn't be in my district anyhow.
Well, no, she's just a lowly county clerk, so her district is all of Round County, Kentucky. But you've got, one of the things that I got to thinking about.
Now, my question is, back with that lowly, Taddy Clark, how the hell is she making $80,000 a year?
Well, because that is the statutorily established salary for a clerk of a county in the Commonwealth of Kentucky.
$80,000 a year.
83, actually, I think.
I know county clerks out here that don't make $80,000 a year.
Oh, now, I'll bet you... Los Angeles is a county, right?
I mean...
I'll bet you the county clerk of Los Angeles County. Because, see, she's not a clerk.
County clerk. Yeah,
she's not.
Right. She is the county clerk.
Yeah, she is the county clerk. She is the constitutionally mandated, oath-swearing... Yeah, she's has to run for office county clerk. Now, granted, for 27 years... She was the deputy clerk to her mama, who was the county clerk.
What?
Yeah, she was the chief, and the chief deputy clerk makes the most of all the deputy clerks. And she was the chief deputy clerk for her mama, who was the county clerk.
There's no nepotism there.
No, hell no. No, I mean, look, it's Kentucky. And throughout Appalachia and the South, if you said you can't hire kinfolk in your government offices, government would collapse.
Who would you hire?
Well, I mean, the Republicans have them and their kin, and the Democrats have them and their kin, and it's just a question of which hog gets his front feet in the trough. I mean,
Look at me sideways about, when people look at me sideways about being married to Jan, who is technically my boss, I just look at them like, really?
Yeah. Oh, and by the way,
just
so we're clear on the matter, Tracy, it's not just $83,000 a year. It's $83,000 a year plus Benny's. It's $83,000 a year plus retirement plus health care.
Oh, health care.
Oh, hell yeah.
She gets health care. Wait a minute. Does the state of Kentucky have Obamacare?
Oh, yeah, and they've got the Medicaid expansion, but she's not on
participating?
No, she's not on that Medicaid expansion. She's on real, live, honest to goodness for
profit. I know that. She's an honest. She gets her healthcare benefits honestly because she works.
Yeah, she gets the kind of healthcare where they don't look down their nose at you at the doctor's office.
So we had that, and then I woke up that, and then the next thing was that Donald Trump is soaring in the polls, and then I find out that the next Republican debate is here in Simi Valley, and then I find out, which means I'm not going to be, I'm going to be definitely sequestered, and then I find out that the California Republican Convention is here this weekend.
Isn't it time for you to go gambling or something again?
What fresh hell is this?
Yeah, it's time for Tracy and Jan to go play the slots.
I have to hit the eject button because I know, fortunately, they probably won't start slithering in until like Wednesday or Thursday, and I probably won't be working, even though Thursday's a peak day for me at the airport, I probably won't be working because if I get near one Republican in my cab, and they start talking shit.
They walking.
About California. I don't have enough bail money, Bob.
I understand. Well, the fact of the matter is,
I told Jan there were that says I'm a lesbian, I'm married, and I'm a Democrat. So don't just shut up.
Well, why don't you just get a quickie taxi cab sign made that those little magnetic things that just pop onto the door. It says, Tracy's married lesbian liberal taxi service, and just sit there at the airport and see who's brave.
To see what happens, right? Exactly. Because how much you want to bet? And as I say it, as it escapes my lips, I'm going to have to like suck on a mint or something after I say it. But how much you want to bet that Miss Kim Davis will be making an appearance at the convention this weekend?
Oh, no, not just the California convention. They're saving her for the... No, she's going to get to deliver... she's going to...
You're right.
Yeah, but...
They're saving her for the big one.
And I'm going to have to gargle with bleach after saying that. I acknowledge it. But, no, when they have the Republican conclave next summer... She'll probably get some prime time to speak.
When is that? So I know never turn on my TV.
Don't know, but you know what? I'll issue a warning well in advance. And what's more, you were talking. I mean, you know where the Republican clown car is going to be stopping? They're stopping at the Ronnie Reagan Presidential Library.
Mm-hmm.
And they mm-hmm. had 20,000 free tickets. They are all gone.
Yep.
You have a question coming in from Tim from L.A. who still wants his damn bedroom. Ace is the subject line is WWTD. What would Tracy do? And Tim says, what would Tracy do if she found out that a paying customer wanted to go to Simi Valley for the Republican debate and the customer said they'd tip you really good?
Oh, honey, I'll take that money, but I'll be talking about it the whole way.
Yeah, but then they'll get there and they'll stiff you.
I'm not stupid. Oh, no. See?
But they're Republican. They're Republicans. They weren't going to tip well in the first place.
No. Well, you know what? I have gotten some pretty nice tips from Republicans.
Really?
Because I shamed them, and I think I scare white people. I don't know why.
Now, how could you possibly do that? I mean, I've never been scared of you for one single solitary second.
No, because you're my friend.
Oh, okay.
And you have no reason to fear me.
Right. Well, exactly.
You're my friend, and I love and adore you and appreciate you. So, but don't get in my crosshairs. Don't be the person I told you about to make. Don't.
I will endeavor to stay there out of.
You know, I mean, because even my wife is like, as much as I love you and I know how you love me, but when we get into arguments, I turn into a whole different person. And that's after, because I try to explain to people, it takes up, because, you know, as a group of folks, black people have been eating shit for a very long time, and we have a certain tolerance for being put upon. But then you get to the, you hit that one nerve, and the thing is, you don't even know what the nerve is. You know, it's one of those things. It's what is it, like a hair trigger? You could be going around your day and nothing, but then they'll say just the wrong thing at the right time, and then at that point, I can no longer be held responsible for my actions. And so I just tell people, you know, that's why I try very hard to keep a low profile. And I'm terrified as to what would happen if I get somebody, a white, a right winger, evil genitals asshole in my cab, and they say the wrong thing. I just, because like I said, I'm so used to shoveling and keeping compartmentalizing my emotions, and now that I actually know that I have a voice and that my voice matters, it's very hard for me to shut up, but I know there's always a place at a time. And I think Jan's more terrified than I am. I think she's actually going to lock me in the house the next week.
Well,
she's terrified of what I might say or do.
You know, Jan is a wise woman. And she is not going
to
let you get yourself in trouble.
In trouble. And she's not. I mean, like I said, I would never physically say anything. I would never physically harm somebody unless they put their hands on me. Then, you know, all bets are off. But I don't go looking for trouble. It's like my first foray down south as an adult. And I this is after my mom had been down there for a few years. And I was driving. She gave me her car. So her and my sister drove from North Carolina to Dallas. And I flew from L.A. to Dallas, and then we drove the rest of the way. We did Route 66. And so we were in Oklahoma City. I think it was Oklahoma. I just know Oklahoma, somewhere where somebody like me does not need to be.
Yeah, doesn't the sign say, welcome to Oklahoma, don't slow down?
Exactly. So we pull into a gas station. And I go inside to pay, and my mom said to go get something to drink. And as I'm on my way out, this big truck pulls up with the Confederate flag on the hood and the flags, you know, waving in the air. And then, you know, they get the three or four of them getting out with the wife beaters and everything like that. And I proceed from walking out of the store. And apparently, I was supposed to stop and let them walk past me. Of course, I didn't. And so then the showdown started, and my mom, who had been living there long enough to know that there was about to be trouble, motioned for me to get in the car. And I realized, because I'm from California. You're not going to just look at me up and down and make that I'm going to move. And then I realized where I was. And I proceeded to walk to the car. Because I could have put myself and my mother in danger just for being me. And so, like, I you know, and when I got, of course, I was pissed, but then I'm still alive to talk about it. You know?
Yeah.
And you know, I wasn't scared. I wasn't scared at the moment. And I don't think I was really scared once I realized how serious the situation was or could have been. I was just pissed off that that it could have turned into a situation and I could have just been jumped or whatever just because I'm black for no other reason. And that was a scary reality for me. That was a reality for me. And I'm like, and at that moment, I'm like, yep, can't move. I can't. I, as who I am, cannot move down stuff.
No,
I don't
mean,
know what I want.
I just got done with last week a trip to South Carolina to see a race, and it was a whale of a good time. People were very sweet and kind and gentle and genial, but I couldn't live in South Carolina. They don't have health care there. They don't have the Medicaid expansion. The same goes for and I know people will go, what? When I say my beloved Alabama. Can't happen. Because, you know, in those conservative states, Tracy, they think that it is the lot in life of poor people to die. Of, you know, not of bizarre, hard to cure diseases, but of treatable illness. You just die. Because if you used to have that Medicaid expansion, that there Obamacare, well, then you wouldn't have Christian family values in South Carolina or Alabama.
And this is the trouble. And see again, Dad and I were talking about the South. My sister-in-law just moved down there with my four nieces to Georgia, to Atlanta. And I'm like, oh my God, okay. I have to look at it. I look at stuff by the state, okay? Not just by the city, but by the state. And Jan's like, well, what about this state? I'm like, they don't have this. They don't have that.
They don't have shrimp taco trucks.
I can't live the. Yes, and right there, I can't live somewhere that has no shrimp taco truck. You know, but I said, when you have a state that will rather let the governor of a state that will rather let people die than to have the Medicaid expansion, I can't live there. Nor would I want. Live there. And then she said, my wife has become more politically aware since you become a couple. But then my baby said Florida. And I'm like, oh, boo. the heat aside, the weather aside, we can't live in Florida. And then I broke it down as to why I said.
Yeah, the old timeout. Now hold on a dang minute. Timeout. Wait, you can live in Southern California where there ain't no water, and it gets hotter than hotter than fish grease in hell. But you can't live in Florida.
The humidity, Bob.
It's a dry heat out there, right? Yeah. Really dry, a tinder box.
I mean, it's a tinder box. As you can see, how most of the state is on fire right now.
I wish y'all would quit burning your state down.
I keep hoping for rain, but I guess God don't love us enough because He's not letting us.
Well, see if you'd quit letting them quit making everybody have them Mexican gay abortions, God might make it rain out there.
You see, if we didn't let the homosexuals, and I bet you, that's some of those in those holy roller meetings that they're saying, see what happens when y'all let those sins into, look at what happened in California. It's not raining out there.
because of the sin in California. No, mm-hmm. because of climate changes, you assholes, you ignorant.
Hey, but you know what? But hold on a minute. I got to share some good news with you. And this is mm-hmm. this really is good news. Jack sent this to me. Next year, not this year, but next year, public school students in Alabama will actually be taught about evolution and climate change.
Excuse me, what? Did you say evolution and climate change in Alabama?
Yeah, honky say what? yeah, in Alabama next year, they will little school students will finally have to learn about evolution and climate change.
No way. Wait, I'm stuttering on that one. How the hell did that happen?
You know, I don't know.
Climate change.
Well, they have updated, and I don't know how they got away with this, they have updated the science standards for teachers in Alabama. The updated standards directly support the teaching of evolution along with the scientific consensus that climate change is happening and humans are the likely cause. They will still have a sticker on their textbook saying that evolution is a controversial theory.
Mm-hmm.
Do little California science students have a sticker on their textbook saying that evolution is a controversial theory? I'm just curious.
No. It was the word controversy and evolution was never in the same sentence when I was going to school. So we never even talked about creationism either. There wasn't even if you want to learn about creationism, that's why you went to church.
And you know what? Maybe Tracy, this is what happens. Remember when the treason rag controversy was going on, and
yeah,
the governor of Alabama, the famous philanderer, the famous traditional family values, upstanding,
no.
God fearing, Bible believing, Christ centered Christian philanderer, Robert Bentley said, "Take all the Confederate flags down now. The Confederate flag ain't worth one job in Alabama." And see, you got companies like Mercedes-Benz and Hyundai and Toyota and Kia and whatnot, I don't know how many, that have come to Alabama for their low labor standards or lack of labor standards and low wages. But low and what, Google or somebody's putting in a gigantic data center that's solar powered. Maybe all of this is kind of trickling. Maybe that's the trickle down. I don't know, Tracy. But all of a sudden, as of next summer, according to Steve Ricks, who's the director of the Alabama Department of Education's Math and Science Initiative, they're gonna have updated teaching methods that, according to the report, says
I believe in one of
science classes,
like you said, these people.
Science classes will soon see a dramatic shift from traditional knowledge regurgitation to higher order thinking standards.
I know
you already are. So am I.
But according to people like Kim Davis, I already am. Oh, I love being me. You know, I do, because I'm really, you know, like when people were freaked out about me, you know, becoming a lesbian or whatever I did, transition, transform, whatever the word you, whatever verb you want to use for what's happening with me in my life, you know, aren't you worried about this? And what will people think? And my general response is like, I'm old enough and black enough not to give a fuck. Because, you know, we're at that age, Bob, that we don't care anymore what people think, and it's taken us, you know, half a century to get to that point. You probably sooner than most, but it's like, we don't care what you think, because you know what you think is not going to keep me, you know, keep food on my table. what you think is not going to keep a roof over my head. And what you think is not going to keep, you know, me from being able to, it's going to help me get a job and keep a job. So I could give a damn about what you think, because what you think I could give, you know, is not going to affect me in any shape, form, or fashion.
Yeah, right.
How about that? So what do you think would happen, Bob, if we stopped? Seriously, if people stop caring what other people thought,
I think Tracy, you'd get a mixed bag, because see, there's already a lot of people who don't care what.
Oh, right, because you would have people like Donald Trump who don't give a damn what people think, and because he can say whatever the hell. Maybe I got to reel that back.
I might pull that back a little bit, because you think Sister Clerk Kim Davis cares what anybody thinks?
How about this? Now, you know, what about this? What if we stopped, what if people who cared about other people and cared about, you know, climate change and stuff like that? So, like, if the next time somebody makes a joke, a racist joke, and instead of them sitting there and laugh and doing that awkward, nervous laugh and saying, you know what, that's not right. How about that? If people, the worst thing a good man could do is to stand back and do nothing? Something, you know, I'm bad with quotes.
You know
what I'm saying?
Yeah, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. Yes.
Right. And that's what I meant. When good people are people who perceive themselves as good people, what would happen if those good people started saying, you know what, this ain't right, and stop worrying about, well, you know, we can't, you know, we don't want to upset people. We don't want to knock over the apple cart or crate or whatever. We got to keep our heads down and, you know, I wonder what would happen if people started, you know, like you said, it's like stop letting people, because I know I say stuff, but when I say something and people say stupid shit, I'm being overly sensitive. Oh, you know, you people are just so sensitive.
You people, one of my favorite phrases in the English language.
You know, you people are just so, you're so overwrought. What's the problem? Slavery is over. I didn't own any slaves and all that, you know, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, I just, like I said this morning when I went on a rant this morning about Kim Davis. I saw it, by the way.
I saw it and I thought, ooh, Tracy's done to a tender turn and it ain't even noon.
Right, and it was 5:30, and it was 4 something in the morning. Five something in the morning my time. So you know I was pissed.
Oh no, you
right.
You were in what we call around here high righteous dudgeon.
Yeah, I was undone. Like I said, I haven't felt that physically ill since Bush was reelected. I kid you. And see, and this is because before I became even remotely politically aware, I was just like, this is bullshit. Oh my God. When he got reelected in 2004, I think that was the beginning of my political awakening, because I'm sitting watching the results and thinking back of all the shit that had went, you know, Katrina, 9/11, and all these things. And they reelected him. Oh, yeah. Were we all living in the same country? How the hell did that shit happen? So, like I said, I was physically ill this morning. And then I was, and the physically ill turned into what was worse of a shitty day customer-wise. I almost hit a car because I almost sideshot another car because an Uber vehicle cut me off at the airport. And I was getting bullshit rides, and I'm like, oh my God, this is just not a good day. Not a good day for me today. But then I said, you know what? This is, your day can always gonna get better. and you don't live in Kentucky.
Thank God. Or something. Or somebody.
I don't. The day is going to get better, Tracy, and you don't live in Kentucky. And you don't have to worry about going. I could just go to the county clerk here in L.A. and get a marriage license without issue. I don't have to worry about dealing with the likes of Kim Davis, because she could never. She could see. This is one of those things where I'm loving. You know, California. We have our problems too. If we get one more fire, it looks like there'll be much left of the state. But at least I know that I'm protected here to a certain extent as far as my rights.
Well, certainly. There's no doubt about the fact that you've got much better government. And just by way, you know, you were talking about the fires, Tracy, just by way of pointing out how stupid right-wingers can be and are in their manifest racism and everything, you remember when the Freddie Gray protests were taking place, and all the stupid white wingers said, "I don't know why," and the same thing with Ferguson, "I don't know why those people burned down their cities." Well, see, that wouldn't play so well if I said, "I don't know why them Californians keep burning down their state."
Right.
Suddenly the idiocy of it becomes howlingly apparent. I don't know why they don't do something about that dry lightning.
Howlingly. Glaringly so. And then I have those moments of, you know, when I can't, you know, even though I go wild before I can actually come call into you guys and hear and listen to actual, you know, idiot-free conversation, because I, you know, even though I don't call in as often, I still go to the page and read the page, and that keeps me sane. But I feel so sorry for you, my Horn family members. I mean, like you guys, like you said, South Carolina is beautiful. I fell in love with Charleston.
How could you not?
But then, as I'm driving through the streets of Charleston and Savannah, and seeing my folks, and how put upon and sad they look, and how broken down they look, and how when I was walking in Savannah and the white people, and I was getting on this white woman was waiting for an elevator with Jan standing next to her, and then as soon as I came around the corner, she took the stairs. And I looked at, and Jan, it's those things that Jan as a white woman was never aware of. Of how, because she, why should she be?
Right.
And she's become, you know, in the 3 years that we become that we are, she's becoming more and more aware of the kind of country I live. I said, "This is, you've only dealt with this for 3 years, baby. This is my life. This is just what it's like for me every single day."
Oh, I know, and it's interesting what you just,
you know,
what you just echoed something from 160 years ago, or maybe even further back. Abraham Lincoln's Secretary of State was William Henry Seward, and he was a New Yorker, and he had been in the Congress, and he had lots of colleagues and dear friends who came from the Southern states, and at one point in time, he and his wife decided that they were going to go and visit their friends down south. And you know, he wasn't a fire-breathing abolitionist or anything, but he got down into Virginia, and he said the same thing. He said the black folks I saw were the saddest, most miserable, pathetic examples of humanity that he had ever witnessed. And it was so bad that he and his wife turned around and went back home. They said we can't stand to witness this. And there's truth in it to this day. And it is it's ignorance, it's poverty, it's the economic, at the risk of sounding all wonky, economic oppression. It is institutional racism, latent racism,
personal racism, and it is tough to bear. It's painful to behold.
It's no more painful for me for you when you go up in the hollers and see your folk.
What up you in? Know, I live. Me, I live in the hollers. I mean, I don't live. I don't live in a holler. But
and you look. No, you don't. Even I know that.
But
don't mess with me, Bob. I know that.
But no, I mean it. Yeah, it's the same kind of painful. It's the same thing that happens when, and apparently it's still okay to do this, when some big for-profit media outlet comes down here and takes pictures of very real Appalachian people and offers them up to the world as typical Appalachian people. I mean, we tell our jokes on ourselves, but we don't like being made sport of in the wider world because, among other things, Tracy, it ain't funny.
It's not funny.
I can't tell you. So my trip to South Carolina, I haven't mentioned anything about this. So I went to book my hotel room using my points that I had accumulated. And hotel rooms in Florence, yeah, South Carolina, were rare as hen's teeth on the night before the Bojangles Southern 500. I can tell you. So, in order to book your, just bear with me here for a minute. In order to book your hotel room, you have to use the website or the phone app, and it kept trying and it kept failing.
Right.
I think this is a way I think this is how they try to keep you from using your points. So then I got him on the phone, and I was talking to a woman named Donna, somewhere not in Merca, because it was pretty obvious she wasn't in the greatest country in the world.
Nope.
On earth now forever today. And she kept telling me that, no, there was no room available at
She's
that
in the
there
in the Philippines.
Yeah, Malaysia, India, who knows. And she kept telling me there was no room. And I walked into the lobby, and there was a young man there. His name turned out to be Levon. And I cannot tell you how helpful he was. Because I set the phone down and turned the speaker on, and I said, Donna, meet Levon. Levon, this is Donna. Donna, Levon says he has a room for me. Donna, I want that room. Levon, Donna says you don't. And he said, oh, no, Donna, we do. And he got it all straightened out, and he did a masterful job. The guy would be pure genius behind the desk at the Waldorf Astoria or the swank, the Beverly Hilton, whatever. Yeah, absolutely. The guy would
whatever.
Be genius wherever. But there are triggers. And there are triggers that kind of make you go, yeah. And some of it's just accent and some of it's just dialect. But because I am who I am and because I carry what Robert Penn Warren called the awful burden of history, when I thanked him profusely, because I was tired and I just wanted my head on a pillow.
That's all you wanted.
When I thanked him profusely, and he said, "Yes, sir, my pleasure, sir."
Did it wound you to your very soul?
I felt like I was going to bleed. And again, that's me, not him. That's just dialect. But I felt, if my eyes were closed and I had nothing but my ears. It was 160 years ago.
Bob, it was 50 years ago, not even 160. It's just 50 years ago.
Well, yeah, but in the hotel and the hospitality profession, that's all at a premium. You know, treating the customers right. But in that, and
Mm. And then, you know, the next day when I got the other side of that coin and I had signed up for a shuttle ride to and from the race, and the two competing bus companies were raising hell at each other, and I swear about to come to blows, and they boiled into the lobby there. And then again, you know, it's dialect, it's locale, and I'm not mocking when I do this accent, okay? I am not mocking, Tracy. But when the day desk clerk came around and looked at those two people and said, "I don't know which one of y'all is right and which one of y'all is wrong, but if y'all don't get it out of my lobby, I am going to call the police, and they ain't going to care neither." And I just wanted to put a hand in the air and say, "Amen," because it was getting a little creepy. And then she turned around to me and said, "I do apologize to you, sir, for that outburst that you had to witness. Please understand that that ain't got nothing to do with how we treat our guests here."
See. And when you find yourself apologizing for the idiocy that is the folks around you, and like you know, because and then you have, like you just said about the young man saying yes sir, and then you think, but there's no such thing as racism. We live in a post racial America, Bob.
Well, I mean, I was raised with yes sir and no sir and yes ma'am and no ma'am. I think I'm talking more about what the process that goes on inside of me, and I'm not sure if I'm comfortable with it, Tracy.
Well, it's for me to. I was on the phone this afternoon trying to, because you know we're going to New Orleans, and now it looks like that my brother and sister-in-law, everybody want to join us for a few days when Jen and I get back from our cruise, and I was trying to finagle rooms at Harrah's in New Orleans. And so the lady was nice, but she really couldn't help me, so I'm going to go do an in run. But she's like, "Is there anything else I could do for you?" And I'm like, "No, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am." And now it was just like it clicked, because I don't usually say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, no, sir, yes, sir, now that I'm to certain people. But I'm talking to somebody in New Orleans, and it was automatically yes, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, what have you, because the only thing I could think of was my grandmother going upside the back of my head had I not said that.
You will have some manners, child. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You will have some manners, you know.
Are going to have so much fun in New Orleans.
Oh, man, I am going to lose 20 pounds just so I can get them back.
You may lose 20.
I don't even plan on really eating.
Oh, no.
That's what I'm going to lose 20 so I can gain them all back.
You don't plan. Did you say you don't plan
because
on eating?
On the cruise.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to eat. I'll eat, you know, what's. No, I'm saving all my appetite for the days before the cruise, because we get into New Orleans on the 10th of December, and the cruise is on the 13th. We come back on the 20th, and we come home on the 22nd of December. And I'm trying to finagle it that we might stay until the 23rd. I don't know. I might have to do, you know.
Yeah, just promise me you won't do your won't do your eating at Harrah's, for God's sakes. Go into town.
Oh, God, no.
Okay,
no,
checking.
I mean, I will be eating at Ruth's Chris.
No,
I get comp there.
Oh well, okay.
No, just one meal, and I get
okay.
comp.
Okay, okay,
no,
okay,
no,
okay.
See,
they used to advertise with Rush, right?
They used to do what?
Ruth's Chris used to advertise with Rush.
So you just trying to make me not eat there?
No, I'm not. I love their cream spinach.
You're dirty.
And that sizzle
no,
of the steak when it arrives on the blazing hot plate. Woo!
Yeah, and see, I have
I get points, and plus because I'm a Diamond member, I get a $200 celebration dinner or whatever. Plus I have, by the time we get to New Orleans, I'll have probably damn near $1,000 in comps for food or what have you.
Okay, all right. I withdraw my objection. Long as you're taking their money and they're not getting yours.
Okay, so yeah. I will have a very outlandish dinner for it'll be our anniversary now.
Oh, no, that'll be
great. 1 year anniversary for the winter wedding. So we are going to do it and do it right. No. Trust me. And I want a list of places that I need to go while I'm in New Orleans.
I will work them up for you.
I need to make sure that I need a list. You got 2 months. Well, 3 months. A little over three months before we leave. So I need a list, Bob, Kincaid.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things you've just got
to... Where I need to go.
One of the things you've got to experience is just the simple joy of getting one of those big old slushy booze drinks out of the slushy booze machine and just taking a stroll down the street, getting liquored up, and nobody looks at you twice.
I plan on being drunk the whole time. Not drunk, but just as my brothers say, nice.
Laissez les bon temps brûler, baby.
Just nice.
By the way, knowing that you're a rum chick, I have to tell you, because maybe you didn't hear, I have to tell you what I'm sitting here looking at that Brother Deacon Asa brought me from Canada.
Oh?
Yeah. Havana Club 7-year-old rum, Añejo. Straight from Havana.
Oh. Oh, so wait. When is Havana going to open up? I heard July. Is it July?
Well,
really?
No, the Congress will have to move to lift the embargo. You can go there now. But it's expensive as hell. About $5,000 a person for a week.
No, I'm not doing that. No. But, you know, next year is my 50th birthday. So we're just trying to figure out what Tracy's going to do for come July 2016, because it's going to have to be huge.
Oh, it
and
will.
Why not? I'm not going to spend $5,000. That's $10,000. I'll cut myself. For example, because of my gambling, our cruise for the week, plus our airfare, because, you know, we have to pay port taxes and our airfare to and from New Orleans, but even with that, it's $2,500 for both of us.
Nice.
For a 1 week cruise in a mini suite with a balcony. Mama ain't sitting.
That is a veranda. That's a veranda, Tracy.
And also, I make sure because this is how my feverish brain works. I asked, I said, I want to be on the side of the ship where every night on our way down, we get a sunset. And so that's where we will be. So every night when we come sit in our room, go sit on a veranda.
You're learning.
What is a lanai? Is that a patio?
Yeah, that's a Hawaiian patio. That's a Hawaiian veranda. And veranda comes of course from the British invasion of India.
Of course. So we're gonna be when we sit on our veranda and we have our fruity drinks with the umbrella and all that, and I'm looking into the sunset and staring at my wife, going, "Oh my!" This is when I have those moments of that little when I'm thinking, "My God, this little colored girl who grew up in South Central." Who never even thought she would have a passport, let alone, the first when I went to London, and I stood in Piccadilly Circus, and I started crying. And nobody, and it was just like, all of a sudden, it was like, I am here. This is a girl who used to shake cans, who we were so broke up. My stepfather would bring cans home with no labels on them, and we could shake them and tell you. I could tell you if it was clean peaches or peas or whatever. you know, loose grapes and rice with, you know, with the bags of rice with holes that got taped up, that the stuff that they could no longer sell at the store. And here I am standing in Piccadilly Circus.
And you're going to sit there, and you're going to sit there on your veranda and say, "We have arrived." Hey, Tracy, I got to get out of here because I done run over time.
It's
been a delightful conversation hearing from you, and I hope we took some of the sting out of your otherwise irritated morning.
And that's why I had to call, because I had to hear some sensible folks. Oh, by the way, are you still $15 short? I know you got to go.
Yeah.
Okay, you got that.
All right, thank you, Tracy.
As soon as I hang up the phone.
All right, appreciate it. Talk to you later. Hey to Jan.
All right, bye.
Bye. And we are so out of here. Back for Titanic Tuesday tomorrow. Thanks, everybody. Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.